B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday.
And it's very excited.
And it's a Tuesday during football season, Maz.
I'm so excited.
What are you so excited about?
Big Boy Tuesday!
It's back. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire studios here in Dorchester alongside newlywed Big Jim Murray in our update studio. How you doing, Jim? Congratulations.
Good.
You? Congrats, Mr. Murray.
Yeah, peachy, just so good. Okay, you? No pleasantries, whatever. You got married. Big deal. Bedard,
what's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you.
Excited to be back.
Let me talk some football with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, and that's it. We're going to talk football for the next couple hours. And we're going to talk football all day, for crying out loud. So, Bedard, I don't know where you want to start. How about with the injury news to Dave Andrews, the center? How big of a loss is that for the Patriots? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's rough. He's a good player. He's been a starter since basically day one, since he was an undrafted player out of Georgia. That being said, they can manage this. I mean, at every other position, they manage it. And, yes, they have a very good offensive line. But this is just, especially on the offensive line, I mean, look, we went from Nate Solder to Trent Brown. I mean, we've done this over and over again. And even at the center position, they've gone from Dan Copen to Ryan Wendell to Brian Stork to Dan Conley at times to, you know, to David Andrews. So, and plus, this time around, you have the added benefit. Granted, we're just saying that there won't be any personnel moves between now and the start of the season, which you can 100% rule out. But this center, and it should be Ted Karras, is going to be between Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason, who are two Pro Bowl-level players, if not All-Pro-level players. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt. The center does a lot of things with protection and checks and the relationship with Brady and all that stuff. But it's not like they're sticking an undrafted player in there. And they've done that before with David Andrews, and it's worked.
Is it rude to call David Andrews a system player?
No, I would say that's fair. I mean, it's Dante Scarnecchia's system. He gets everybody. I don't care who you give him. He gets them ready. I mean, Ryan Wendell is a guy who had no business being a starter in the NFL, and the guy wants a Super Bowl or two. I mean, you know, he was just this like 6'1" guy, not athletic at all. And Scarnecchia made him into something. Same with, like, you know, Dan Conley, and it goes on and on.
See, I'm surprised by this.
Why?
Because I expected Bedard to put more of a premium on a fat guy.
Well, but you're also speaking to his, I think, his personal god. I mean, we all pray to certain gods.
Scar. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The god Scar.
Yeah, seriously. So, I mean, I think that is, you know, those two things intersect here in this story.
If yes. Googe was here, maybe I might have a different opinion on this. But, you know, it's Dante Scarnecchia. He talked about it the other day where it's just like, look, he goes with the cavalry's not coming. I like the guys that we have. We can win with the guys that we have. And I believe him. He is not just blowing smoke, because he's actually the guy who started off the whole, you know, as soon as I heard Scarnecchia say, you know, he was asked yesterday about Andrews, like, you know, are you worried that, you know, David's missed the last two practices? He said, we'll see. And Scar doesn't sugarcoat anything.
See, everything you're saying is accurate. I mean, the Patriots find a way to fill those spots, particularly on the interior. For some reason, though, this one bothered me. This injury bothered me. I just look at Andrews, and I feel like that's a guy we never talk about. Never. Not that we should, Greg, but, you know.
Yes, you should.
Okay.
All the time.
We never talk about
David Andrews.
Always
on the line. Always.
So, like, but I think that that's a good thing. Like, I've actually come to think, you know what? He's pretty good. Like, I think, like, I don't know. I don't think losing a center is necessarily a good thing.
I don't disagree with you, but what you also have to keep in mind is, number one, he was undrafted coming out of Georgia. Okay, so it's not like, you know, he was a high priority. Also, you know, they just they do this all the time. They looked to replace him 2 years ago in the draft, there were, you know, a few reports that said the Patriots tried to trade up
that guy from Indiana
to get in front of the Lions for Frank Ragnow, the center, who actually is now hurt and out for the year also for the Lions. So the Lions are looking for a center as well. But they tried to trade up to get, instead of taking Wynn, they were going to take a center. And the extension that they gave David Andrews a few years ago was extremely modest. It was like 3 years, $9 million. You know, I think it was like 5.5 guaranteed, something like that. So this is not, you know, they backed up the Brinks truck for Shaq Mason. Joe Tooney's in his contract year. So, I mean, you could just tell where they think a player is in terms of the contract they give him.
Okay, Patriots item number one. You can go anywhere you want with the Patriots. You can, Greg, Ken, Jimmy, you may release the hounds, please, at 617-779-0985. Other big story across the NFL is the retirement of Andrew Luck over the weekend. What's your takeaway on that, Greg?
My takeaway is the timing was terrible. And he, I don't see, unless you have a debilitating injury, like multiple concussions, a back problem where you might be paralyzed if you take another shot, something like that. You cannot quit on your team 2 weeks before the season.
See,
you just can't. I mean, at least do everything possible. And that includes go on IR, possibly get reactivated after whatever it is, week 7, week 6. Do that. And then if it doesn't work, then you say, I tried. I did everything possible. I can't do it. I'm sorry, but it's just not working out. Then I could understand it. But 2 weeks before, and the Colts had Super Bowl aspirations. I mean, that's how this thing has been coming together for this team. And for him to pull the plug 2 weeks before the season starts,
so you put,
just wrong.
You put some of this on him.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I know you guys talked about it yesterday, and I do think that, you know, Luck was just, he's one of these players, and I think we're going to see more and more of them come down the line, and I'm not going to say, call him a millennial or whatever, anything like that, but just, and he's not the first guy. We've seen other guys in the past who have, you know, they're really smart guys who have other interests and don't want to just be known for football. You know, they're a different breed than like Brady and Breeze and Rivers, where this is all these guys have ever wanted to do. It's all they're going to do.
Too well-adjusted.
Yeah. And
we don't like those well-adjusted
guys. Though, right? I mean, they ruin everything.
Doesn't work in football.
It's like we have to think logically now.
I mean, there's a reason why Belichick likes certain guys at quarterback as opposed to others. Like, you know, in talking to people, and I haven't talked to Bill about this, but talking to people around him, like I remember, you know, talking about like when Mariota and Jameis Winston were at the top of the draft. I don't think Bill would take Mariota because he's too sort of soft-spoken, low-key, really smart. Like, no, Bill wants a swashbuckler, really cocky SOB, that kind of guy, guy who runs the room, is a Pied Piper. And so there are different, Bill looks for different mindsets at quarterback, and I think this plays into all that stuff.
Okay, item number two, Andrew Luck. How about Rob Gronkowski today? And, you know, and what he had to say and sort of hinting around at some point he might be ready to come back to football. That time is not now. He's endorsing CBD oil, et cetera, et cetera. Your thoughts on Gronkowski and, I don't know, the game that I think he continues to play.
My main takeaway was don't come back to football, Rob. Just don't. I mean, if football was causing you that much pain mm-hmm. and causing you to go to dark places and things like that after, and he's a guy who has had multiple surgeries and the back thing every, you know, since came out in the draft, teams were telling me it's not a question of when, but if, or not if, but when his back explodes on him. And it's a grenade. And that Rob was so emotional today. That's the first time I've really seen that out of him. My main thought was just go away, go be happy, go be Gronk. Go be healthy and do all that stuff because, you know, is it worth it? I mean, maybe at some point in time, does he think, is 8 weeks of football worth it for him? You know, maybe, but I would say the chances of this season it happening, I thought they were less after today.
So, like, you know, I was listening to the midday show when they were talking about it, and Zoe says he's more convinced than ever that Gronk is coming back now. I felt the opposite.
Yeah, for what Greg said, though, this year, I feel like he pretty much ruled out this year.
That's what it sounded like to me. I mean,
we'll play some of the sound, but there, you know, I think he left the door open long term, but it felt like this year he closed the door.
Yeah, I think he's done, period. Now, again, there's no way to know when how someone's going to feel in a year or two or even three. And he said three at one point, I think. But I looked at it and said, well, if he was it, I mean, I think him getting emotional was authentic.
Oh, yes, definitely. That was the one part of the thing that was authentic.
Okay, I don't think it was fake. I think that was real. And some guys can fake it. I don't think he was faking it. I think that was real. And you know what that told me? He was scared. When he talked, he's scared about where it took him. And, you know, and again, I say this is 2 days in a row now where I never connected it, where I said, this guy, like, was depressed.
Okay, so I'll just stop right here, because if Hook were here, he'd say we're being hypocrites. Marshall Hook yesterday. You know, we're sort of showing sympathy here for Gronkowski, but being critical of Luck. Is there a difference between the two? I mean, is that being hypocritical? Are you not being consistent on that?
I mean, they didn't retire at the same time. Gronk retired in what, March or April? And he has a history of, like, debilitating injuries. Luck had, what, a shoulder, a hurt rib, and an ankle? I mean, I'm sure there's more and that we don't know about, and so I don't want to sound like a jackass. But you know, for the most part, it's apples to oranges as far as their injuries.
Yeah, and the other
and
thing
positions
is,
played.
See, I think it's entirely consistent. I'm only speaking from my perspective. But I didn't like the Gronk timing either. If Luck wants to walk away, all the power to him. I never said he shouldn't walk away. I said to do it 2 weeks before the season. What are you doing? Like that one is you could have decided that one sooner or later, but not then. Not smack dab in the middle as your team is ready to embark on a Super Bowl season. Like that you can't do. And I didn't love the fact that Gronk did it as late as he did and screwed the Patriots in free agency. I didn't like that either.
Okay, so I think Gronk's been playing the game for a couple years. So I don't like the back and forth either, the Brett Favre-ing of the thing, which I think Gronkowski continues to do to a point. Any Patriots thoughts? We got the big boy back, Bedard, back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Your thoughts on the Luck thing? I know that's still an emotional thing for a lot of people. We've got David Andrews and that thing. Does that register to you? And I don't think it does for anyone, because for the very reason Greg was talking about, they still have Dante Scarnecchia. All those on the table, Maz. What? You're smirking.
You're
guffawing.
Jumbo's back!
You're just happy that the big guy's back.
Yeah, hell, I can hide a little now.
617-779-0985. Your call's next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I understand. I feel that love. But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself. And I believe I have the tools. I have the people around me. I have CBD medic team around me now to help me to deal with my pain whenever I need it, whenever during a workout, whatever it is, so I can do the most safe alternative way for myself. I believe I have the great people around me to get to where I need to get to in life. And I am very satisfied where I am in life now.
That's one of the Gronk cuts we were talking about. I don't feel like he's coming back anytime soon. I'll put it to you like that. I think he left the door open, and the door is open down the road, but not this year. You ever thought on that, Murray?
Yeah, I mean, to hear him break down like that, I don't mean to sound crass, but it sounds like someone you would typically hear in an episode of Intervention or in a 12-step program. Like, it was bringing me down. Like, and for him to start crying like that, like, I mean, this was his job, not a drug, but, you know, I do think that there is some level of addiction to it for a lot of these guys, and that, like, you know, all the adoration and the stardom that comes with it and the winning, of course, when he's here and he's three-time Super Bowl champion, or is it four? They've won so damn many. I just think he was probably conflicted, but his body has taken so much, and it started to mess with his brain. He probably dealt with a lot of depression, and it scared the hell out of him, like Maz said. He ain't coming back. He shouldn't.
Can I ask you something, Murray? What's the CBD going to do for him?
I don't know. I don't know how well it. I don't know how well it really works. I mean, it helps some people in terms of anxiety. It helps them sleep,
but it doesn't get you high.
It certainly doesn't get you high, and I don't think there's a body high from it. It helps me sleep. I don't know. I don't think it like as a pain reliever though.
And it has different effects on different people, right?
I guess. Yeah, part I kind of don't buy. If I'm being completely honest, like the CBD and pain thing, like I don't know.
I mean, I've used some of it to try to sleep better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work as well for me as it does for Murray. You know, but I'll try anything.
Yeah. You know, you just have to be leery when it's a sell, meaning...
Sure.
And that's why the TB12 thing. Like, anyone, you know, I was told once that, you know, the health and fitness advice, it's great, but if it comes with buy my thing, you've got to be leery of it because... It's a sell. It's not a straight recommendation, and I think this is the best. I'm selling it. And so this would fall along the lines of that. And is, you know, I'm just curious. Is this really what's going to cure him?
Like in terms of like physical pain, I spent like $80 at the dispensary once on CBD lotion. And I didn't notice a difference. Like it didn't do really anything for me. All it did was kind of make me sleepy, you know, so that's the only thing I've found from the effects of CBD. You know, it can calm you down a little bit and help you sleep. And in terms of it being a pain reliever, I don't necessarily buy it.
I mean, look, if you know, you said anxiety, though, Murray, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with all that he was going through, usually the two are linked. Anxiety and depression are usually linked. And so maybe it helped ease his anxiety, helped put him in a better frame of mind, so he's feeling better.
Well, so today I think was a sell job, but you know his emotion broke through. That wasn't a you know that wasn't a sell. So again, we'll take your thoughts on Gronkowski before I go to the phones. Greg, just your overall thoughts on the team. How do you feel they look?
I think they look really good. I mean, pending, we have no idea what their regular season passing offense is going
to
look like.
Well, I was going to say, do they need Rob Gronkowski to win a Super Bowl?
No, I don't think so. I mean. You know, they've gotten by with him in the past, without him in the past. And also, I mean, even last season, how effective was he really? How much? Yes, he's nice to have in certain, you know, clutch situations. Hey, Gronk, just block, just do whatever. And then in the last 4 minutes, we're going to throw to you four times. Okay, that was great. But, you know, now in theory, you think they have some bigger bodied players that can, you know, perhaps make bigger plays down the field and really make this offense run. But... aside from Julian Edelman, if he doesn't have a setback from the whole broken thumb thing, and James White, we still don't know what they really have. I mean, I think it's okay. I think it's good enough, but we don't know.
Well, can they win on defense, running the ball, their punter? You know, that thing, the whole way it feels like they're being
built? I think they can. I think this defense is going to be that good. I mean, I really think we're talking them giving up the teens, and this team now just needs to get into around 20, and I think they should win just about every game. I mean, outside of certain teams like the Chiefs and things like that. But, I mean, I really think this defense is legit. And I think that Bennett is an upgrade over Trey Flowers if he stays healthy in terms of the pass rush. And I just think they're a lot more dynamic on all three levels right now.
Playing that schedule and those quarterbacks, they better give up in the teens.
There was another report out today. Guess who has the easiest slate of quarterbacks in the league? I know you hate this. I'm just presenting it.
Pats!
The Athletic, Mike Sando, does quarterback rankings, puts them in tiers, does this every year, has done it every year for like the last 8 or 9 years. It's not his list. He polls 55 NFL executives and coaches across the league. So it's the results of his poll, not his opinion. And is for, again, I don't know how many straight years he's done this, 7, 8, 9, something like this. And then he ranks all the quarterbacks in tiers, first tier, second tier, third tier. And then what he does is he looks at every team's schedule and says, based on those tiers, who has the easiest quarterback schedule in the league? Guess who's 32 out of 32?
The Patriots?
The defending champion, New England Patriots. So they have the easiest quarterback schedule in the league, never mind the easiest schedule in the league, according to many metrics. So, you know, that's sort of to Greg's point there. You look at who they're facing on top of everything else, And do they need that prolific passing offense? You know, I think wire to wire, not necessarily, but there's going to be times. AFC Championship game, 3rd and 10, overtime, money's on the table.
Yes, sure.
You know, so
they're going to have to make plays to the air. I mean, people could tout the running game and Sony Michel and Damian Harris and all this stuff and the defense, but at a certain point in time, it's going to be 3rd and 12, and you're going to have to make plays down the field. And the question is, do they have the players to make those plays?
Okay, so maybe that is the one question left on the team. To your calls, as promised. Jake in Boston, lead us off.
Hey, 2 points, one on Gronk, one on Luck. On Gronk, I think we learned today that there's no chance he will ever come back as a Patriot. Active NFL players can endorse drugs, tobacco, or alcohol. The partnership he just announced includes equity and a board seat. He'd have to give it up. If he does come back, look out for the XFL. I think they would be enticed to be attached to launch that league. And on Luck, there was never a secret pile of money between Kraft and McDaniel Felger. Josh knew about Luck's health. That's why he turned down that job last year. It's not rocket science. Anyone would love to have an NFL job with a healthy, active, top five QB attached to it. I'm out.
Okay, I don't agree with that second thing. Then why did he say yes in the first place? Did Josh learn something between the time he said yes and the plane rolled up on the tarmac?
He was just trying to get revenge for the flake.
That's asinine. Why did he say yes in the first place?
And it was 2 years ago, right?
It was 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Right, it was right, exactly. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't this offseason.
No, it was 2 years ago. I mean, that changes the timeline a little bit.
You tell me, Bedard, why did he change his mind and jump off the plane and stay in New England?
He just got cold feet. I don't think he really... the whole thing, you know, whether it's hearsay or whatever, it being the Colts, I just don't think he was ever comfortable with it. And then, plus, he's going through all these interviews, and Belichick's not saying a word to him. So McDaniels must be like, he must want me to leave. And then finally, once the season was over, Robert got involved in all that stuff and made him offer basically that he couldn't refuse, and he passed on it. That was it. It had nothing to do. McDaniels even said it yesterday, even though I'm not one of these guys who says, oh, well, he said this at the podium, so it must be true, because most of the time people in the NFL are lying when they're on the record. But, I mean, that's true. But he even said it yesterday. And Josh is a pretty straight shooter when it comes to this stuff. He said that it wasn't on his mind. It did not factor in.
The thing about you can't endorse tobacco, alcohol, or drugs and be in the league, I'll take his word for it. I think that's why Gronkowski was lobbying today for professional leagues to embrace CBD and allow it on their players and da-da-da. But, you know, that's a whole layer to the thing that I guess you have to consider.
He can't go to the XFL.
Why not?
Because he's under contract with an NFL team, and that's written in their contracts that they just can't go and play for another league.
Even if you retire?
Yeah. I don't think he can.
Really?
I think the Patriots could sue him, and they could prevent him from doing that, I think.
Okay. Well, add that to the list. Pete in Delaware, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. Hey, I agree with Greg where he's saying get used to this, seeing more and more players retire. I mean, I think the biggest loser of the weekend was or the week was the NFL. You had Andrew Luck retire the way he did. Then you see Gronk today. And these are two big, big, big-time celebrity-type players, 29 years old. Then you have McClain tweeting out what he tweeted asking the NFL for help. And then you got the NFL asking for more games. No, seriously, guys. I mean, really, like, someone's got to get – what are we going to do? Are we trying to protect the game, or are we trying to make money? Just say one or the other, because it's not both.
Okay. Well, they can't have both. That's an excellent point. We'll pick this up on the other side with the return of Three Up and Three Down.
Get ready for the parade of fat people.
Oh, my God. Bedard is already
Connor McDermott.
Already lathering up over here
Neil
to talk about
Douglas.
Big fat guys in the middle of the line that you've never heard of.
Dan Skipper.
The three stars, three duds.
He's a journeyman.
From the Patriots preseason and training camp with the big boy after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Now,
It's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Oh, it's back, Maz. Can't you feel it? Feels
oh,
like
yes,
football.
Absolutely. I'm so happy.
Got his chart out. He doesn't actually have a chart. Where's your clipboard?
Actually, my clipboard broke during baseball season this summer.
Your
and
clipboard
I'm in the market season. For another clipboard. You know, I have a good relationship with my clipboard. I got to try a few out, you know.
Would you try to eat it?
Let's just say, you know.
Put a bratwurst on it and you know, smear it up or what?
Managing baseball team this summer, let's just say, you know, it was a little intense.
So he still has his charts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see this. Like, this is ridiculous what you have going there, but you just don't have it. You don't have anywhere to clip them. This is not an efficient method there.
We're going to get him a 98.5 clipboard.
The season's coming. The Patriots are still getting prepped. I'm still getting prepped.
Can't wait to hear how Dan Skipper did in the one-on-ones.
Three up, three down. The three studs, three duds from the Patriots preseason so far and training camp. Bedard, number one star for the Patriots.
Jacoby Myers when Tom Brady is not throwing to him.
Okay.
I mean, Jacoby, yeah. He was sensational all summer. And he was in the games when Thomas was not throwing to him, which I have some issues with that. I mean, why is Jacoby Myers the greatest thing ever when Jarrett Stidham is throwing to him, but not when Tom Brady?
Can you give me a minute on that? 30 seconds?
I'm just going to say that I think it's because Jacoby hasn't been getting as much time in team stuff with Brady. I know where you want to go. I'm not willing to go there yet. But I will say, in the practices that I've seen, whether it's the ones at Gillette or the joint sessions, he throws to Jacoby Myers all the time in one-on-ones against cornerbacks. But the stuff that Jacoby's having trouble with is with team defense. What's the safety doing? What do I need to do? How do I adjust my route? Things like that. He's not there yet. And if I'm Belichick and McDaniels, I'm saying I'm taking away Philip Dorsett or whatever, and I'm saying you're throwing to Jacoby all day in this practice because we need to get this kid up to speed.
Is Myers a lock to make the team?
Yes.
Before I offer up my evaluations, I would just like to say that the only way you're getting on either of my lists if you're a starter is if you suck. Okay, because if you're a starter, you have nothing to gain in preseason,
so
in training camp.
No starter's going to be a three up.
Well, I didn't say that.
Who's your number one up?
Byron Cowart, the defensive lineman. To me, this is, and again, I put weight in the fact that he got into a game with the first stringers and flashed in that game too. That tells me something. This guy came out of nowhere. And I feel like, honestly, to me, this is a guy I want to watch play. He looks like he can have an impact.
You know what's surprising about him? He was terrible in one-on-ones this summer. He was 1-6-1, but in the games, he's been great.
That's the problem with watching one-on-ones?
No, it's just part. It's part of the puzzle. Who's not the end all and be all?
Who's your second stud?
Second stud is Chase Winovich. Hmm. I mean, he was awesome. We did not see he for some reason, and I didn't understand this. They did
put
not
him on the other side of the defense in week three. I forgot to mention that. He was playing on the defensive left in the first 2 weeks and killing it.
Yep.
And then I felt this last game he was on the right side for most of it. Was that just them seeing what he could do?
Well, I think the injuries to Rivers and Calhoun really dictated that. I think they're really short. Now they're all of a sudden really short at outside linebacker. So I think that had to do with it. But, you know, here's a guy who in one-on-ones, they never had him really go do one-on-one pass rushes, which I thought was odd. But he's doing great in the games, and I have him for 10.5 quarterback pressures so far in the preseason. The next closest is Cowart at 3.5.
Jake Bailey, robo punter. I love this guy.
This guy's a stud.
Seriously, he's like, it's like watching a guy in the driving range.
Now you're not making fun of me in my hang time.
Jake Bailey.
No, I'm into it.
He is. He's robo punter.
Seriously, but you can't. The TV doesn't do it justice because the camera doesn't follow the ball. But he'll punt the thing, and then they'll pan to the returner. I'm like, well, that's reasonably deep, and here it comes. And then I'm like, where's the ball? And it feels like the last five, I don't know if I was going to say 5 seconds, the last second or so, I'm expecting the ball to be there, and it's not there. And where's the ball?
I got nothing against Ryan Allen, but he can kiss my hairy bottom.
But by the way, here's one stat.
This guy, I'm in love with this guy.
Here's one stat from the summer. Bailey had, between practices and the games, he had 12 punts with over 5 seconds of hang time. Ryan Allen had zero.
So that that bleeps for real, man.
You can run to the fridge and come back and the ball's still in the air.
Unreal. Third stud. Quickly. We're behind.
Joe Tooney.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
The guy has been sensational. He won my interior pass blocker award this year.
Oh, he won
second
the Menard
time.
Interior
That's right.
pass blocker award. Holy cow. Woo.
The old IBA.
I'd like to thank.
Oh, it's right up there with the Outland Trophy.
Go ahead. Keep making fun of me. It's all right. It's okay.
Okay, Mass. Okay. Who's your third stud?
I went off the board on this. Calvin Munson.
Yep.
This linebacker.
Good player.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad last year, right? Or they plucked him from the Giants practice mm-hmm. squad. I like this kid. I don't know if he's going to.
He could make the team.
I don't know if he'll smell the field during the season, but he had a good preseason.
Three duds, three down from the preseason / training camp. Greg, number one, dud.
One of your nominees to be the next center of the Patriots, James Ferentz. He was not good this summer. In the games, he's given up like seven stuffed runs. He's been fine pass blocking, but he has just had a lot of issues run blocking this summer.
You missed the easy and obvious one. Gostkowski. Gostkowski, he had a
Isn't
suck.
Isn't he a starter?
But he sucked. Okay. That's what I said. He had a suck preseason. You're not going to make the list unless you sucked, and he sucked this preseason.
Second
I like Gostkowski, but he had bad preseason.
Oh, yeah, you like Gostkowski. Why do you even bother saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Second Doug.
Makes me feel better.
My boy, this hurts. My boy, Dietrich Wise.
Good one.
He has he done anything? I have him for a half a quarterback pressure. I think he's in serious jeopardy of not making this team just because he doesn't fit the scheme. I think he still fits a 4-3 as a defensive end, but as a 3-4 defense, there was a play in this last game where he got shoved like 5 yards off the ball and to the ground. Like he can't hold up against the run, and he's not going to be part of their sub package, so I don't know whether he has a spot on this team.
James Ferentz. Seriously, I had him second. He blows. Seriously, he got trucked. He sucked in the preseason.
Welcome to the Pro Bowl, James
him
Ferentz.
And the other guy, who Froholt, is that how you pronounce
yeah.
it? Ferentz was worse.
Froholt was not good either.
Every time I noticed him, he was getting smoked. I thought, this guy's horrible.
Third down, please.
Duke Dawson. Did that guy played like 80-something snaps this preseason? Does anybody remember any?
No. Is he going to make the team?
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe he's a candidate to be, you know, traded, look for a fresh start somewhere, get something for him. But I don't know. I mean, I went into the summer thinking that he could supplant Jonathan Jones and make him expendable as a trade chip. No way. I mean, they have to keep Jones. I don't know what Dawson's going to do.
Bedard had good ones on this list. I give you credit, Greg. That was
Thank
pretty
you.
Good. Yeah, good opening week for you. I went with Braxton Berrios.
Yeah.
I was more impressed by that Olszewski kid.
It pisses mm-hmm. me off. I liked Berrios. Or I was hoping for him. I was rooting for him.
At the beginning of the preseason, I thought he started out all right, but then it got worse.
But what do I care? Braxton, Gunner. Well, just give me one of those little guys like that. I like those little guys. So really, I'm not going to be picky. Just give me one of them.
Yeah, that Olszewski did a good job on the punts after the first one.
Oh, yeah.
There's your three down thoughts on the team. We'll reset our Andrew Luck thoughts and Rob Gronkowski as well. CBD, is that going to cure him? And your calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I didn't wake up this morning. A week and a half, 2 weeks. It's been a little bit fast and furious, and the lack of progress on my ankle, and I'm in pain. I'm still in pain. I've been in this cycle, which feels like, I mean, it's been 4 years of this injury pain rehab cycle, and for me to move forward in my life the way I want to, it doesn't involve football. I don't know if tipping point, but you know, it's shoulder and the ankle and this and it's yeah, it's I've not been on, I don't feel like I've lived the life, you know, I can't live the life that I want to live moving forward.
All right, Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, are they really that different? I feel they are. You know, I look at Andrew Luck, and I wish he was wired a little differently. I think he's leaving the game when other quarterbacks would fight through it. I like those quarterbacks that fight through it. I like those quarterbacks that you have to, you know, wrest the ball from their hands. You've got to crowbar the ball from them before they'll retire and walk away from the game. They need to be out there on Sundays. It's their lifeblood. They'll do whatever it takes to get out on that field and stay out on that field. And I'm not just talking about Tom Brady, who's obviously the best example of it, but even someone like Peyton Manning, who you might think isn't all that tough, he easily could have walked away from that game when he had that neck injury at the end of his Colts career, and he did everything he could to keep playing because it's in his blood. He had to be out there. That's what I expect from these guys, and Andrew Luck doesn't fit that mold, and I sort of look down on him for it.
Yeah, because he's too intelligent, really, I think, to keep playing in the NFL. And I think, really, that's the crux of it.
I agree with you. I think that's a lot of it. And look, you know.
But how come I don't look down on Gronkowski? So, like, why is that hypocritical?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he plays a different position. He's had different injuries. I mean, I just, look, you know, just hearing Luck talk, I mean, look, I understand what he's going through, you know, but he signed up to play in the National Football League. He signed a contract as a franchise quarterback in this league. Like, there's some agreement there that, like, when you do that, then you're agreeing to certain things, which is...
One is fighting through injury.
Yes.
I mean, I agree.
I mean, I hate to criticize the guy, but I don't know how we can celebrate Tom Brady and Brett Favre for these guys for being warriors, yet we can't criticize other quarterbacks for not. I mean, I don't understand how you can have it both ways. I mean, it'd be one thing if Luck had played 15 years and he's like, okay, you know.
After my ninth back surgery, like Gronkowski or something, yes. So
yes, and I'm not saying that he's not going to be in pain or he hasn't been and he hasn't, you know, he had the whole lacerated kidney. I get all that. If he didn't want to come back from that, that'd be different. But I just think that, you know, I just keep thinking about like Bruce Cassidy during the Bruins playoff run. I think, what did he tell the Bruins? He's like, it's painful to win or something like something along those lines. And, you know, he used some of the examples of recent guys, the Bruins in the playoffs. And you know, why is football any other way? It's a contact sport. It's brutal. Some people can't hack it. I can't hack it. There's a lot of people who can't hack it in football. But he signed up for it.
Yeah, and the trade-off is your body gets turned into pulp. And I think he's just, you know, went to Stanford, really well-read. He has all these other interests, like being an architect, or maybe he wants to be a teacher. And good, go do all that stuff. But I just think he realized, enough, I ain't doing this to myself.
But you know why he and Gronk are different. I mean, you know, first of all, who's the best tight end of all time?
I think it's Gronkowski.
Who's the best quarterback of all time?
I think it's Tom Brady.
Okay. So, but Luck doesn't even really factor into the discussion, does he?
No, sir.
So he had a lot more to prove. You also, we followed Gronk closely on a daily basis. We know every surgery and ailment he had. How many rings does Luck have?
Zero.
How many does Gronk have?
Three.
Right. So, like, he's got all the boxes checked. What really is there left for Gronk to do on a football field? So he can walk away.
And we also saw some of the more catastrophic injuries for Gronk in real time. Like when he got undercut by TJ Ward in the game against Cleveland 4 or 5 years ago when he's screaming on the field and his knee gets blown out. Like, we never really saw that with Andrew Luck. So I think that might be part of it too. Like, it was stuff that was after the fact. It was these cumulative effect of these hits and the shoulder thing and whatever's going on with his ankle. You never saw it in real time, like something snap and him screaming on the field.
And there was a buildup with Gronk, right? I mean, like, this was coming.
Okay. Meanwhile, back to your phones. As promised, James in Attleboro. Meanwhile, what is CBD going to do for Rob Gronkowski? Go ahead, James.
2 years ago, I was on a fentanyl patch for PMCG.
I mean, is that just me or?
This is one small step for man.
Smoky.
No, I mean, that wasn't, I couldn't even get close to
one
that.
One large step for mankind.
James. CB radio, not James, CBD, CB radio.
Take the pork loin out of your mouth. Try it again. Go ahead.
Okay. I was on a fentanyl patch.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Give my regards to Neil, Buzz, and
Holy
Ed.
Holy smokes. John in Rockland. Go ahead, John.
I don't know what he said, but it does help you with pain. I know that. But you can't get high, but like Maury says, it makes you fall asleep, but it helps relieve pain to a degree.
Okay, so I think it has different effects on different people. Did it relieve your back pain, Murray?
No.
And
no.
I don't want to. That's the last call I'm going to take on your back pain, okay?
I fell off a ladder and I started using CBD. No, it must be that. It's different, you know, different strokes for different folks because I've tried putting it on the lotion and, you know, working on my hands that are somewhat arthritic at 40, whatever the hell I am, and it doesn't work. It doesn't. Helps me sleep.
That's yeah, all. I was picking up my wife's suitcase.
No, please, I can't do that. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike.
So, you know, I actually feel bad for Luck because, I know he signed up to be the quarterback and take the hits, but I think he also, thought that they were going to live up to their deal as well, the organization, and actually protect him. I mean, they didn't really protect this guy. They had a horrible offensive line. He took a lot of hits. I do think a lacerated liver and torn abdomen and, you know, a host of other injuries that he sustained are significant. And I think that, you know, we can't put the blame all on Luck. I do feel that the Colts have a major responsibility here to protect their star quarterback.
Mary, thanks for the call. Greg, you're nodding, huh?
Ryan Grigson. This is if you're giving a blame pie, this would be 90% Ryan Grigson, former GM. He was freaking horrible. And he is the reason that Andrew Luck got killed. What, you didn't learn anything from Carr with the Texans when he was the first overall pick and got beat to a pulp? Talk about a guy who, you know, went through everything. But Ryan Grigson, when he drafted Philip Dorsett in the first round, and I remember that draft because I was just like, what the hell is he doing? Draft a pass blocker, you moron. And he texted, a reporter asked him about that pick, and you know what his text back was? Speed kills. And I was like, not if your quarterback's on his back the whole time, you idiot. Moron. That guy is one of the worst GMs in history. He should go hide. I think he's with the Seahawks now as some assistant idiot. I don't know.
Okay, so I can't argue with you on Grigson. He did not do Andrew Luck any favors. But back to your thing. When you sign those contracts and sign up to be a franchise quarterback, he ain't the only one that has had bad protection. He's not the only one that had a bad GM. He's not the only one that took hits. You're sort of expected to battle through that. And it's, you know, it's bad luck. And, you know, Grigson is Grigson. But he ain't the only one that took a pounding because his GM couldn't draft an offensive line. I mean, Deshaun Watson, how many times did he get hit yet last year? What an absurd level. He'd lead the league in sacks
for a guy who got a bad offensive line. That's still bad down there in Houston.
Okay, so I mean, but that's like, so he's going to walk away because his GM sucks? Like, you can't go off and do that. I mean, you can, but, you know, you ain't the only one that had
a bad
GM.
For a trade. You don't like it? Ask for a trade. You know, force your way out.
Here's Bus in Natick. He says, Felger's a phony. Go ahead, Bus.
What's going on today? You can say tough three times in 5 minutes, but yesterday when Hook was there, God forbid, I gotta say wired. It's like you're using certain words to fit your narrative today, but yesterday when Hook calls you out, you just say everything the opposite.
Not really. I'm using the same words. I'm using my words. You use your words, I use my words. And Hook uses his words.
Okay, I was listening for 5 minutes. You said toughness three times. Yesterday you did everything but the word tough.
I don't think I said the word toughness once today. Did I?
Okay, you did 2 seconds ago.
No, I didn't. I think you heard it.
Play back the tape.
I said Manning was, did I say Manning was tough?
I can't give you exactly what you said because I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I can give you the gist.
So there we go. Now we're back to the gist versus what I said. So you don't like the tone, I can't help you. But I think Peyton Manning, whether I use the word tough or not, did not want to quit football because it was in his blood and he needed it and he had to have it. And did he put his future health at risk by doing it? Yes. Does that make him a not smart person? Perhaps. But that made him the kind of football player I would want to lead my team. And so that's the differentiation right there.
I told you, like Bedard, to me it was a timing thing. You want to walk away from the game, have a blast. 2 weeks before the season, you're going to do it then? And like, so that's...
I want my franchise quarterback that I pay hundreds of millions of dollars to and have drafted number one overall to fight through injuries and to fight through a bad GM and to overcome and try and persevere, at least try, over a long period of time, maybe a bad offensive line or a bad scheme around him. Because that's just the deal. That's what I want from my franchise quarterback, and Andrew Luck did not do that. So I don't know what word you heard in there, but that's what I want from my franchise quarterback.
Now, I will say, if, and I think this has been somewhat reported, but not strongly, if he thought about walking away in March and the Colts talked him out of it, then that's different.
I mean, I feel that happened too.
I don't know if that happened. I haven't heard that happened. But if that happened, then that's different. Then it's on the Colts. But, you know, if this was just came to a head this summer during camp, that's on Luck.
Okay. No commercials. Just an update here from Murray. Rob Gronkowski gave you his next big thing. We'll tell you what that is and hints about his future in football. That's coming up again after the update. No spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.